sometimes there are small works in progress, aren't there? That squeaky door, that leaky tap, a broken fence, flat tire on a bike. You know, small works that need to get done. They're not going to take you very long. Just small works in progress. But other times there are big works in progress. And they're a different beast. In Perth, the last few times I've been there, they've been doing some major road works on some of the roads out near the airport. And they require many people and many trucks and many signs and multiple things happening all at once. It is a big work in progress. Well, when it comes to Christian transformation, it's easy to think that we're going to be a quick fix, a small work in progress. You know, just one little thing at a time and presto, our Christian transformation is complete. Done. But the reality is, our ongoing Christian transformation is more like that of a major highway. There are major changes that need making. There are multiple areas at once that God works on, and it's often a slow, ongoing process, just like a highway in progress. And this transformation is important because we do need to change. I need to change in so many areas. Last week, the bishop kindly highlighted that I'm a sinner in his sermon. That's everyone's dream, isn't it, to be singled out in the bishop's sermon for his sin. But I didn't mind because it's true. I'd love to be able to love God more deeply, love my neighbour more sincerely, be a better husband and father. I'd love to have all the fruits of the Spirit in abundance. I want to be bolder in being able to share the gospel. I wish I was more prayerful and more discerning, more wise. I wish I knew more of the God who loves me and gave his son for me. I need changing. You too need changing. And here is the good news. If your faith is in Christ, God is changing you. But you also need to know that you're not a small fix. You're a major highway under construction. It would be appropriate if we all wore shirts like this one, I think, maybe like a church uniform, and said works in progress. Because that is true, we are. So today we're going to look at how God is changing us. What areas is God at work at, and how does he bring about that change? Now this is different from what we looked at 2 weeks ago, which is what we are. There are changes that are true of every Christian when we place our faith in Christ. Changes to our identity that change the very fabric of our being. Jeremiah talks about it as we are given a new heart. Jesus talks about it as us being born again. The Apostle Paul says we are a new creation. Where we are now redeemed. We are now children of God. We are now forgiven. We are now God's temple. We are now God's church. We now have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So that is what we are. Well, the change we're looking at today is the change that transforms us to reflect our new identity in Christ. This is the now versus the not yet. Not yet are we perfect because we still have sinful bodies. Not yet do we see Jesus face to face because we're not in glory with him yet. But God, by his Spirit, is getting us ready. And so today we're going to look at the goal of God's transformation in us, what he is transforming in us, and how he transforms us. So the goal, the what, and the how. So let's first look at the goal. And the goal is very simple. It is to make you more like Jesus, so you reflect his glory in everything you do. In your thoughts, in your words, in your actions, in your character, in your desires. That's what maturity in Christ is. It's being more like Jesus and reflecting his glory in every aspect of your life. That is God's goal for your life, that you would become more like Jesus. I turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, which Clive read out for us. And it says, now the Lord is this is in verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, in this passage, Paul is talking about how the ministry of the gospel of Christ has so much more glory than the ministry of the old covenant under the Old Testament law. And he talks about how when someone like you or me hears the gospel and turns to Christ, our spiritual veil is removed, our heart is uncovered, so that we can see the glory of God in the cross of Christ. It's like God shines by his Spirit a huge light on our heart so that we can see his glory in the gospel of Christ. As we contemplate the Lord's glory ourselves, we are transformed. Not externally, but internally we are transformed into his image to be more like him. When I spend time in the sun without sunscreen, my skin can be transformed from being a pasty white into being a bright, deep pink that reflects the glory of the UV rays of the sun. We call it sunburn. When we contemplate the Lord's glory, we're transformed internally to being someone who more closely reflects Christ and his glorious rays. And all this comes from the Lord, we're told in 2 Corinthians. It's not something we work in ourselves, but something God works in us by the power of his Spirit as we contemplate his glory in Christ. God's goal for you is not to lose that 5 kilos, or to get that promotion, or to break that personal best, or to increase your quality of life, or to catch more barra. It's not to be disciplined in your to-do list or get your inbox under control, or to get that bumper harvest. It's not you be you or find your true self. God's goal for you is to make you more like Jesus and to reflect his glory. That is the transformation God is working in you, to make you more like Jesus. Jesus, who perfectly obeyed God's word. Jesus, who never sinned. Jesus, who had perfect character, perfect patience, perfect endurance, perfect love, perfect joy, perfect peace, perfect kindness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, this side of heaven, we're never going to be perfect, but God, by his Spirit, through the gospel of Christ, has started work in us already. So that this time next year, God willing, we'll all be slightly more like Jesus. Maybe even greatly more like Jesus. We're works in progress. So that is the goal, to be more like Jesus. So what exactly is he changing? What is he transforming? And I think this is where that highway analogy comes in helpful. Because God is not just changing one thing, but he's changing many things in our lives at the same time. God can multitask, unlike most of us. And God is undertaking a huge transformation in us by his Spirit through his word. Gary Miller has written a helpful book on Christian transformation called Changed into His Likeness. And his categories are helpful to summarize what in us God is changing. And he notes that God is transforming our relationship with him, our knowledge of him, our desire for him, our godly character and our experience with him. And if you didn't catch that, I'm going to go through those a little bit more slowly. God is transforming our relationship with him. Because we now know him. In John chapter 17, Jesus, when he prays, he says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Through faith in Christ, we know God. And this changes who we are. Because this relationship, it changes how we view the world. It changes how we view other people, how we view money, career, children, romantic relationships, marriage, life, death. Because over time, our relationship with God will bear on these things and make us more like Christ. It's like when you have a good friend or you get married, that relationship actually changes you. You know, if I had not married Beck, I would be a different person standing here this morning. I've been changed, I've been transformed, and I would say for the better. Also, our relationship with God. It transforms us to be like Christ. Well, God also transforms our knowledge of him so that we actually know him better. Through his Spirit in his word, we learn what God is like. We get to know God and who he really is. We learn to trust him, to depend on him, to live for him. We learn to become like the psalmist who knows that God is his rock, his shelter, his salvation, his righteousness. We get to know that God is the one who brings compassion and mercy. And we saw that in our reading in Jeremiah 31. It says, no longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Our knowledge of God will be transformed. We will know him better and better over time. And in turn, that will transform us. On this point, Gary Miller in his book, he actually quotes J.I. Packer in Knowing God. And he wrote, when people know God, losses and crosses cease to matter to them. What they have gained simply banishes these things from their minds, and that knowing God produces great energy for God, great thoughts of God, great boldness for God, and great contentment in God. That comes as we know God. It's like how ads for quitting smoking work. They show you a grotesque picture of your lungs or your gums, and then they give you knowledge of how bad smoking is for your lungs and your gums, so that your behavior might be transformed, i.e. you stop smoking. Well, with God, when we know him, it doesn't stop us from doing something. Instead, it motivates us, it spurs us, it transforms us so that we live a different lives, not for ourselves, but for our Savior who died for us, whom God sent in his love for us. But God will also transform our desire for him so that we will love him and love our neighbor. We saw that in Jeremiah as well. God says he will write his law on our hearts, so that we will love God, we will love our neighbor. And God, over time, will increase our desire to do both of those. We'll be changed, transformed. Coffee is an acquired taste, isn't it? I never used to like coffee. I now do like coffee. But it was a process of, you know, slowly getting used to drinking coffee. Well, that's how God is changing our desires. He wants us to be addicted to loving him. He wants us to be addicted to loving our neighbor. And he's working that in us. Our God also transforms our character. He's renewing our hearts and minds so that we put to death sin and instead live out the righteous lives that Jesus wants us to live. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This is where the Spirit is at work in us, convicting us of our sins, so we put sin to death, and instead producing in us the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. You know, we all know a person doesn't just wake up one morning and change their character. But God is working in us slowly, like a plant growing, so that we will be more like him. And lastly, God transforms our experience with him. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that many will have life and have it abundantly." With Jesus, we get to live with peace and hope and joy. We get to cast our anxieties on God in prayer. We get to rely on him for our daily needs, rejoice in him, have fellowship with him. It's a real relationship. It's a real experience. Jesus is with us by the Spirit. And that's going to change how we do life. That's going to change what we care about. It's going to change what we think is important. It's going to change how we respond to stresses and things happening in our life, the good things and the bad. So we've seen that God is transforming us. And it's a holistic transformation, a highway transformation affecting who we are, from our knowledge to our character to our relationships to how we view the world. It's ongoing. We are works in progress. Which leaves the question. We know the goal. We know what God is transforming, but how does God transform us? What tools does God use to make us more like Jesus? You know, the trader uses a drill, a minister the Bible, a doctor a stethoscope, a teacher might use a PowerPoint presentation, an office worker a database. What tools does God use, though, to transform us to be like Christ? Well, here are four tools. The first tool is the gospel and the Spirit-inspired scriptures which point to Christ. This is God's primary tool. The Holy Spirit, which dwells in us, takes his own words in Scripture, which are God's words to us, and applies them to our heart and mind. And we see that in 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word changes us, corrects us, rebukes us, equips us. As Gary Miller notes, Paul clearly expects that people will be changed, humbled, corrected, and trained through the preaching of the word, which leads to completeness. God takes God's word, he applies it by his Spirit to our hearts and minds. And so if we are eager for Christian transformation, if we are eager for Christian maturity, if we want to be like Jesus, we need to place ourselves where we can hear God's word taught faithfully. We need to pray that God, by his Spirit, would apply his word to our lives. So that's tool number one, the Spirit-inspired word which we have in our Bibles. The second tool God uses to transform us is that God enables us by his Spirit to respond to his word in repentance and faith. See, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. And an appropriate response is that we repent from that sin, we turn from that sin. But when we turn to God and we place our faith in him. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." We're to humble ourselves. We're to stand firm in the faith. And this is a work of God as he transforms us. The more like Christ we become, the more humility before God we will show, the more we will be able to stand in faith during the different trials and temptations that come our way. And Jesus is our example here, isn't he? He humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross to die for our sins, yet he persevered in the faith, standing firm, not ever giving in to the temptations of the devil. And so through repentance and faith, God is transforming us to be more and more like Jesus. The third tool that God uses to transform us by his Spirit is his church. When we place our faith in Jesus, we become part of a family that is called the church. And God uses this family to transform us to be more like Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, how this works is that God has given pastors and teachers to teach the body of Christ, who then equip God's people with the result that we become more mature in Christ. And we see this in Ephesians 4, verse 11. Christ gave himself apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We gather together like we are this morning. We listen to the word, and that equips us to serve each other. We build each other up with the truth of the gospel. We're are transformed. It's one of the purposes of church. And if we give up on church, we're actually robbing ourselves of becoming more mature in Christ. We're denying the Spirit the opportunity to apply his word to our lives so that we can grow. And the final tool that God uses to transform us is perseverance. This one no one really likes, because perseverance requires going through hard times, times of challenge, times of suffering. But suffering in the Bible, while one day will end, is actually now a tool that God uses for shaping us to become more like him. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And so we see that suffering is one of the ways that God transforms us to become more like Jesus. Now, these are the tools that God uses. We can stifle God's transformation of our life through spurning the tools that he uses by saying, no, we're not going to listen to your word, God. We're not going to listen to you, God. We're not going to listen to your word. We're going to stop humbling ourselves before you. We're going to stop placing our faith in you. We're going to stop meeting with your people. We can stifle the transformation to become like Christ. We can stagnate, working against the Spirit of God. That's why we need to embrace the tools that God has given us, so that we will grow to become more like Jesus. So far today, we've seen the goal of our transformation is to be like Christ. We've seen that God changes our relationship, our knowledge, our desire, our character, and our experience of him. We've seen the tools that God uses by his Spirit, his word, repentance and faith, the church and perseverance. And so I think it would be helpful for us just to work through an example. What does this actually look like in practice? And the example, because it's our November prayer month, I thought should be prayer. And we're just going to take a really simple command in the Bible, which is be devoted to prayer. What does this transformation look like when it becomes to this little command, be devoted to prayer? Well, it's more than just trying harder. I think we need to understand that. This sermon on transformation is not try harder to transform yourself. Rather, it is God transforms us using all those tools that we just looked at. And so, well, firstly, we need to hear God's word. We need to pray that God would apply it to his life. So when we read Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, be devoted to prayer, we need to ask God to help us to be devoted to prayer. But more than that, we need to spend time in God's word. We need to know that we are in relationship with him, that he is our loving Father. We need the scriptures to remind us that our God actually longs for us to pray to him, to talk to him. We need to hear from God's word that he longs to answer prayer, giving us more than we can ask or imagine in Ephesians chapter 3. See, our knowledge of God should teach us that God is dependable. He is trustworthy. Our relationship with him should make us want to pray with him. And actually, we need to ask God to change our desires so that we want to pray. We need to ask God to change our character, to fill us with the fruits of the Spirit so that we will be self-controlled and disciplined in praying. But also, our experience of prayer is helpful here, isn't it? Because when we pray, God answers prayer. This week, we've had a number of answered prayers. There was the light party on Tuesday, and that was a great light in our community. And people from the community came and heard about how Jesus is the light. Praise God. An answer to prayer. Some people have been praying that a Christmas story time might happen at our local library. And this week, we went and asked the library, and they said yes. It's an answer to prayer. Praise God. And our experience of answered prayer should encourage us to keep praying, shouldn't it? To be devoted to prayer. But we've also seen that Prayer is actually an act that requires faith. It requires us to humble ourselves before God, to trust him. We might need to repent of the times that we have failed to pray, where we fail to be devoted to prayer. We need to meet with others. We need to meet with God's church, God's family to pray. On the 21st of November, we're going to have a prayer meeting. Come and join your church family in praying to our God. It's a great way to be encouraged to be devoted to prayer. I reckon when you come to a prayer meeting, you'd probably do, lots of people will do more praying in that 1 hour than they might do in a whole week. What a great way to come and be devoted to prayer. But ultimately, devotion to prayer is not going to come because we're going to try harder. It's going to come because God is at work in us, using the tools that he's divinely ordained to transform us by the power of his Spirit to make us more like Jesus. And Jesus is our example, isn't he? He was devoted to God in prayer. He often put people aside so that he could go and pray. But what I want to show you from this is that transformation, even our just that simple command, be devoted to prayer, it's holistic. It's not just one thing, it's lots of things, multiple things at once. And so there we have it. We've seen the goal. We've seen the what. We've seen the how. We've seen that we are works in progress by the grace of God. So let's praise God for the work that he is doing in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a good and gracious God. Thank you that you do have a goal for our lives to make us more like Jesus. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would continue that work that you have begun in us, that you would bring it to completion. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to know you more, that you would fill us with the fruits of the Spirit, that we would depend on you and humble ourselves before you and place our faith in you, knowing that you are a trustworthy God. Continue the work that you have begun in us, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.